This to them husks, croaked a small voice from the back seat. I must protect the psyllium husks.
That's all right, sweetie, Francis said in a sing-song voice aimed at consoling him and concealing her annoyance. You ate the husks, remember? They're perfectly safe in your tummy. She glanced over her shoulder at her son. He was hunched up in a ball on the back seat, clutching his knees to his chest. The psyllium husks were about ready to wreak their revenge.
My tummy, Eric echoed. Ow!
Just hold on, she said soothingly. We'll be there really soon. It was a gorgeous blue sky sort of a day, which naturally meant that Frances had spent most of it in a stuffy car whose windows refused to wind down. She'd been driving for 6 hours straight and was starting to forget what moving air felt like. She swung the steering wheel left, taking them onto an unused-looking dirt track full of holes. The exhaust juddered alarmingly in its duct tape moorings. Oh, don't you start, she told the car irritably. It's only about another 2 miles. Inwardly, she cursed Simon's reluctance to sort this road out. But there again, he didn't need to. He drove a huge, gleaming 4x4 that could pick up several children at a time in the bumpers without complaining. You'd never know the destruction you'd wreaked until you'd reached your destination. Reluctantly, the car did as it was asked, shuddering long-sufferingly down the lane like an elderly relative who hasn't been asked to walk anywhere on their own for about a decade. Ordinarily, Eric would be in the front seat next to Frances, helping her coax the car along, but his little episode with the tablets had put paid to that. This is what happens when you allow a child to engage in an imaginary battle with Professor Science to pass the time on a long journey. Did you really have to eat them all? She had asked, realizing far too late that the secret formula he'd been banging on about consisted of a bottle of pills that had rolled out of her overnight bag, rather than the tube of Smarties that had been issued at lunchtime. Of course, Eric explained gravely. Otherwise, Professor Science would have used their magic to destroy the space-time continuum. It was the only way. You won't be saying that in an hour, she muttered. Next time, I'm vetoing all travel games other than I Spy. The car edged closer to the farm, passing a field where Simon reared lambs to serve in his fancy restaurant in town. As they crept by, Frances could have sworn that one of the sheep shot a bolt of pink sparks out of its nose and was now being told off by another, older sheep with a black tail. "What do you think they're up to?" she asked, but Eric wasn't paying attention. He wasn't interested in sheep at the best of times. Everybody knows they're the most boring of the animals, and Eric found most animals mind-numbingly dull. But with his tummy feeling like it was full of tap-dancing beasties, he was even less inclined to follow what the local sheep were doing. Frances slammed her foot on the accelerator and forced the old wreck up to an impressive 35 miles an hour, spraying out a fountain of dry earth behind them. If Eric had not been in such dire need of reaching the nearest facilities, they might have stopped the car in a passing place and gotten out to stretch their legs. Neither of them really liked Simon or his daughters that much, but they had to visit him because he was the one who looked after Granny. Nobody saw her without going through him. If they had stopped to stretch their legs and steady their nerves ahead of Simon Gate, they might have noticed the sheep continuing to behave in a rather curious way. The one that had shot sparks out of his nose rose up off the ground, about 2 feet in the air, whilst the other older-looking one with the black tail continued to shout at it. Well, bah at it, I suppose. Sheep aren't very good at shouting. Then, rather than take a telling, the floating sheep stuck its tongue out, blew a raspberry, and flew away from the rest of the group into the next field. The old sheep followed at a terrific pace, bleating at the top of its voice as though it would explode from sheer anger. A passing wood pigeon found the whole exchange really rather nerve-wracking, as sheep are generally very docile creatures. When she got back to her nest, she informed her neighbours that the end might very well be nigh, if the seven signs of the prophecy were anything to go by. Most of her neighbours were of the opinion that prophecy certainly was not anything to go by, as most of it had been compiled by a doddery old fox who was, legend has it, trying to write his memoirs at the time. But they all agreed that it was very unusual for a sheep to get so angry,